Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another electrifying episode of the Silicon Dreams on 1550 AM. I'm your host, Charlene from Orbis 86. And today we have joining us Tanisha Kohli, the esteemed branding, PR and content expert at ZKX Protocol. Welcome, Tanisha. It's great to have you on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me. That's a brilliant introduction, I think. thank you for introducing me.
Absolutely. So, you know, with over 6 years of strategic prowess, Tanisha has carved a niche for herself, particularly within the dynamic tech industry, startups and Web3, which is commendable. And I think on that note, we can start, into her journey with, you know, before we get into the nitty gritty of DeFi. So, Tanisha, can you share with our listeners how you found your way into the fascinating world of Web3?
Yeah. I think firstly, thank you, Charlene. I mean, absolutely happy to be here. I have hosted so many people myself, given my background, but it's the first time I'm on the other side, so I'm sort of excited how it goes. Just happy to be here, and you know, let's kick it off. I think your first question is, how did I get into Web3? I mean, now looking down at my career, it's sort of somewhere in the middle, right? Where you're not a junior, but you're not really like somewhere in the middle, I guess. So I think if I look at my 6 years now, you can't really plan that. So I think how I started into Web3 is very interesting because I was a public relations consultant. And I actually started my career with tech startups, B2B business, fintech. So I was sort of always in that space. And I think when DeFi summer really happened, I think you could see, you know, and I mean, even you would all look, you could see a lot of influence that we were seeing. Like we were talking about GameStop, we were talking about, you know, how do they do that? And I think we started seeing a lot of business come from Web3, right? And that's how I got into it, because I was in that space literally. And I would see, you know, a lot of NFT marketplaces coming up immediately, overnight in some cases. Yeah. And, you know, I worked on them. I worked on some. And then I found some more NFT projects. I was like, and NFTs, you know, still now, I mean, you talk to people and, you know, out of 7 out of 10 times people say, we just started with NFTs. And that's the truth, because it's so easy, it was so interesting. And that's how I got into Web3. And then I finally, because I worked in fintech and tech, I was looking for something more my style. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got into DeFi and found ZKX. So, yeah, I mean, it's been very interesting because I started my journey with an NFT project, got into DeFi, and have been with the project actually since inception, which is very lucky. It doesn't really happen. So you have like 0 to 1 growth. And I've been with them for 2 to 2.5 years. So it's been a great, great time, I would say.
That's great. I mean, that is definitely an interesting journey. And, you know, usually when you talk to people who have gotten into Web3, they are usually there for the tech side of things, but it's nice to finally, mm-hmm. you know, talk to somebody who's on the PR and marketing, because I think that's something we do lack in Web3, and it is coming up right now. So, you know, speaking mm-hmm. about, PR and marketing in the decentralized finance space, it's a whole new ball game, you know, compared to traditional industries. So, or maybe yeah. something similar at the end of the day, but, you know, what are the unique challenges that professionals like yourself, you know, face here with regards to PR and marketing?
Good question. Would just be like 2 years of my career, I guess. But the thing is, when I got from PR, right, and when I was given this opportunity that I evolved from PR into marketing and growth and content strategies, mm-hmm. what I realized was that the difference, I would say the challenge is in the difference, and why Web3 is so unique to some people, or why it's attractive to some people, is that, you know, let's say you launch a beauty product, right? In this time and age, you say, okay, this is how I look. These are my colors. This is my audience. Okay, what else do I need? I need to describe myself. Okay, done. Do I need PR push? Okay, done. You can, you know, can do a release. Then you do an interview, right? From a growth perspective, like let's say you look at a brand from a 360 perspective, right? And you say, hey, I could do Instagram ads, right? Beauty is now so much on Instagram. You can influence people. You can do Facebook ads, right? If you really want to go rural, and you can do Google ads. Yeah. You know, we know, let's say if you take any brand in particular, let's not take names, but the idea that I'm trying to create, there's a picture to how in your mind as well, when I say, okay, let's create a brand in Web2, there's a picture that keeps forming in your mind. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. And there's, because traditional finance, I mean, traditional PR, marketing, whatever, has been for so long, there are so many experts, there's schools for that, right? Mica, whatever, right? You have a blueprint.
Yes.
You can be anywhere in that blueprint. You can follow a niche like what I did with PR, or you could be a growth person. People dedicate their careers to running Facebook ads. You know what I mean? So I think there is a complete blueprint. And when I came to Web3, there's something called DYOR, just do your own research, right? And I was like, what the hell is that? But it literally means that you have to figure out what do you want to do. And the challenge with Web3 and what's attractive is that there are no blueprints. There is no brand guideline, right? You can be as edgy as you want. You can be as stupid. I mean, you see some of the NFT projects and they're so, so unique. And that's what I think the challenge, and you know, I would position it that there is no blueprint. You have to really figure out what type of communication works for you, right? And I think the second thing is to not see a brand and how to position the brand just from a perspective of a PR mm-hmm. or from growth. I think it has to be a holistic approach of, you know, okay, who we are, how do we communicate ourselves? Does it match our vibe on Twitter? Do people resonate with this type of tonality, right? If I do PR, would it resonate with people? You know, because in Web3, there's also like an attitude of a brand, mm-hmm. right? You cannot just do everything, right? So you have to see what works for you, what's who your audience is, how do you reach out to them, because there's no attribution in Web3. I mean, we're trying to create one, but there isn't any. And this is sort of like a ball play, like a good time for marketers to enter this space. Like you said, there are like less of us. That's where you kind of put, like, you know, your storytelling comes into place.
Right? Absolutely.
Because there's so many projects, right? Let's say you are in DeFi, you are lending, borrowing, NFT marketplace, the Ponzi-nomics or the fundamentals of the finance, how it works is insane. Mm-hmm. So who's your competitor? Who's your peer? How do you talk to people? Who's your audience? It's a completely different ballgame. But again, do your own research. You have to find out what works for your brand. And the more beautiful part about Web3 is because it's so nascent and there are like some marketers and some people who are doing everything, right? You could have a BD person also do growth. It happens and we've seen it. You can always reach out to people, which yeah. I have done in 2 years that I have worked in, sort of now from my way of how I would like to communicate the specific brand.
Absolutely. That is, you know, correct. And I think also when you talk about, you know, pushing out a press release or, you know, just, you know, kind of telling people about trying to build that brand, I think education is also important, because I think in a country like India, especially...
Very much.
Yeah, before just, you know, because when you say beauty, you're trying to build that brand, you say, oh, this is why we are good. But here you have to explain the basics of
who you are.
Yes, exactly. Why? You know, so that comes into play, definitely. And okay, now I think we can get to a little more detail. So listeners, get ready to learn about ZKX. That takes trading to the next level, by incorporating gamification into its exchange platform. So, Tanisha, if you could shed some light on how this, you know, benefits traders, and, you know, a little more about ZKX.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to simplify it for everyone. Let's say, and that comes with the level of how much you know in DeFi at one point. Everybody talks about gamification, decentralization, permissionless, but, you know, for like a user who wants to trade, you're like, what the hell is going on? So think of ZKX as an exchange, right? It's a protocol. Mm-hmm. And think that ZKX has two products at the moment. One is called OG Trade and the other is called Pro Trade. They both are exchanges. One, they both are decentralized exchanges. What that means is they are on a ledger blockchain, which is L2 called Starknet. What that means is that there is transparency. Everything is run on the blockchain. Now, what ZKX, and what we are doing at ZKX is that we have built two types of exchanges. Nobody really does that. If you really look into the competitor landscape, I've never really seen a protocol do two exchanges. And the reason is what we understood was that one solution doesn't meet all needs, right? So what we created was an advanced terminal, right? Which is for advanced traders and who want to kind of use strategy in a different way, right? And then we created something called OG Trade, which was more fun, more accessible. See, the vision ultimately is to make our product more accessible, mm-hmm. right? How do we do that? So the insight is one solution doesn't fit all. Secondly is, okay, not all types of traders are the same type of traders, right? So an advanced trader is a different trader. And then like if you, and with OG Trade, what we did was we came up with this insane level of gamification, which was we are doing going to do 30 minute of competitions, right? Every time. So it's a perp exchange, right? The thing which people sort of miss is that perps are a serious business. You know, they're a serious trading business. But how do you make it accessible? Like how can Charlene and Tanisha become perp traders? And that's when you kind of think, okay, we have to think of the UI. We have to think what's interesting to them. How do people stick on it? How easy it is to trade, right? What do I do? Do I have to study what I'm trading? Because not many of us really have that type of time, and right? But we still want to make money at the end of the day. So you have with OG, you have a 30-minute competition. You have, you have 30-minute of competition. You can just trade by up and down. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Right. And the fun part of it is like, how do you make it more interesting for people to keep coming back? So you have a leaderboard, you have three leaderboards, and I won't get into too much of it, but they're called profit, volume, loss. And even if you are losing, even if you are lost the most, you're on top of the leaderboard and you get access to some tokens. So that's where the stickiness and the gamification sort of comes into play. Even with Pro, you have 24-hour competition. So what we have done is we've taken two products, cater to different types of traders, created gamification in a way that brings people back with a reward mechanism and makes it easy that people like you and I, maybe my colleagues, maybe some other people, they can have a taste of what perp trading is about.
Right. Thank you for kind of simplifying that. And definitely accessibility is crucial for traders of all sizes. So, I'm glad that ZKX is, taking these measures to kind of make sure that everyone has access to, trading. And with that being said, building and nurturing a brand, in this landscape of DeFi is definitely nothing easy, right? So what kind of strategies have you discovered to be most effective in this environment?
First thing is we did find like what works for us. But second is caution. Not caution in the sense, but the thing is, if you figure out a strategy that works for you, it could be so dynamic that next year it totally wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because the market has changed so much, right? So from a brand perspective, I think it's what works and what has worked for us is we were clear on who we are, right? Our vision has always been that we want to create a product accessible to all. Our target audience has always been emerging markets, because this is our assumption and our analysis that trading volume is in Asia. It's not in Europe. It's not in the US, right? So you sort of pivot. You sort of pivot in your communication, how you're communicating to the users you think you need to target, right? The third thing is content. Cannot stress this enough. And that's what I realized and learned in Web3 is that content is like really important. The content should reflect who you are, your audience, the tonality, like I said before. It builds trust. It's as simple as that, right? It builds trust. And your Twitter is the main source. So you have to be on top of trends. You have to be on top of what's going on, mm-hmm. right? And then let's get into a little bit of 360. How do you like really build a brand? And then, it has to reflect to your community. Mm-hmm. And this is where I feel, Web2 is sort of catching up to Web3, is because this element, which is the small element, but such a huge part of a brand, community building, right?
Yes.
If you have a community, let's say I take out a campaign, they can either like it, dislike it, share suggestions, but that feedback loop is so brilliant and great. And, they're also rewarded for their contribution. It's sort of different kind of workplace as well, right? And from a DAO perspective. So it kind of leads to, Twitter, content, Discord. What we have done is we know our target audience is emerging markets. So we have targeted media, KOLs, content in emerging markets. So people get to experience and learn about ZKX in their own native language. It's a very big thing. And it makes simple thing beautiful to execute, but huge in impact, and then sort of tailor-made it from a PR perspective, a marketing perspective. There are campaigns, partnerships, collaborations, even competitors collaborate. So I think there are no rules in brand building in ZKX. So fundamental remains the same. You have to be very clear on who you are, communication, everything. But there's so much to explore, I feel.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And like you said, you know, community building and trusting, that's what stood out for me. And that's what stands out for the Web3. People building in Web3, definitely, because I think that is the core and the base of, you know, how projects need to and have to come up in this space, definitely, right? There are a lot of misconceptions, you know, around Web3, crypto, decentralized exchanges. But, you know, focusing on decentralized exchanges, how does, you know, ZKX address or overcome these misconceptions? Or at a personal level, what do you think is something you can do to, you know, help people, you know, take off that negative connotation with revolves around DeFi or Web3 in general?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think I look at it from a perspective, let's say I'm a user, right? I go to Binance and I'm trying to figure and explore the platform, right? Let's take it from an angle of like how, what you really do on that foot. And then you're like, hey, I can like buy some meme coins. I can, you know, I can do futures. I can do some leverage here and there, right? And then you try to explore and understand the crypto space, right? Now, whatever could be the lever or what attracted you in the first place could be many things. It depends on the narrative. It changes so quick, right? Now, the thing is, when you get immersed in it, you sort of start realizing, okay, what am I doing, right? What am I contributing to? Can it be better, right? Is there a security challenge here? What happens is people read about hacks, they read about FTX, and it's like the news cycle, right? You read the headlines, but you really don't know how it works, how it impacts you, right? So some of the misconceptions, I think, rather than misconception, they're apprehension, and rightly so for some people, right? You go to Binance, you sort of log in from your social media, email ID, whatever, right? The experience is so Web2. And you're in it, you're trading, whatever. Now, let's say a situation comes where Binance Africa is shut down, like FTX, you know, like then you realize, oh, I don't have really control of my funds. Then you're like, okay, maybe Binance is down. Then you're like, oh, this is not on the blockchain. A lot of people don't even realize that it's not on the blockchain, right? Then you're like, oh, it's on AWS or whatever, right? Yeah. So I think the apprehensions are on first, the level of understanding, right? What you're doing, I think the apprehension that we have seen is that now, first is you get used to becoming a centralized exchange user. From a centralized exchange user to a DEX user, the journey is a little bit of a learning curve, I would say, where the apprehensions are, hey, I don't want to be in a position where I lose my funds. I don't want to be in a position where somebody is controlling my data. You know, that was the whole thing of Web3, why it came to place. You are not being targeted. And I are talking, and maybe we're getting targeted on Instagram, but it is definitely not going to happen in DeFi.
Yeah.
Right? If anything goes down with the platform, you have control of your funds, right? And the extension of it is you have a say in how the platform moves in a DAO in the space, right? If you take a Uniswap, you want to take this partner, you don't want to take this partner, whatever it is, you have a say in how you build that brand. And that's so beautiful, I feel. Yes. So I think the apprehension that we have tried to figure out, and mostly our, you know, self-custodial account. We have our own account, right? Self-custodial for somebody, it's very simple. You are in control of your account. You're in control of your money. You access it. If you don't remember it, you lose it, or you have a seed phrase, right? Now we are coming up with something called account abstraction. And account abstraction is simply like, it doesn't matter your wallet address, right? You have a 12-key seed phrase, right? And people forget that password, right? And what you can do is you can log in from your social media, right? So we are trying to abstract the information at the back end, so we keep you secure, but your experience is still Web2. So I think these are the apprehensions. The other apprehension is, of course, you know, gas fee. And you want to trade, and you don't want to trade, like spend like $100, $200 just to make a trade. I mean, realistically, right? So what do you do? So we are built on ZK rollup chain called Starknet, right? Where the way they're kind of aggregating the data and optimizing the block space, it's cheaper, right? So we have made sure that people who come to the ecosystem, the experience is great, they're familiar with the UI, and also it's not as expensive for them to trade on blockchain, right? Because, I mean, to come to think of it, if a trader wants to make money, mm-hmm. does it matter to him on the ethos of blockchain? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And that's why you need to be as decentralized, because you are still in control of who you're doing. You're not targeting, you don't have a persona, right? And I think these are some of the things that we are trying to sort of target the UI, right? The security of it, and how efficient and cheap it is for a user.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think seamless onboarding in the first place is really important, especially when, you know, because people are used to Web2 and there's nothing you can do about it because it's been a long, been around for a longer time. And Web3 is relatively new, but, you know, saying that, I know that there's risk involved. Everybody knows that there's risk involved. It's just that, you know, with Web2 initially, that was the same thing, right? People saw social media, saw the internet as a threat, but now everyone's adapted to it. And I think that's just how Web3 will work. And it's great that you guys are trying to, you know, back Web3 with Web2 for seamless onboarding. So that's great. And yeah, like I said, education and, you know, doing your own research at the end of the day is very important for all our startups and entrepreneurs out there entering or established in Web3. This is our last question. So what's one solid piece of advice you would offer to them? And listeners, you might want to pay attention to this one and be ready to note down.
I think for anybody entering the space, right, or and you know, who wants to probably create a meme coin, you can, you know, I mean, then the possibilities are endless to be an entrepreneur in Web3. I think what you can follow is sort of like a rule that, you know, to deliver who you are, which is to have a very clear vision. Communicate that vision. Talk about what you're building and how it works, right? It's very important. Then followed by a roadmap, because people want to see continuity. There are a lot of projects which come in and out, right? So what is the long-term vision, right? Who are the team members that are working on this project, right? Break that ice. And I think these are four or five things that even as entrepreneurs, you should discuss about, you know, how do you want to position yourself, all these things, right? Mm-hmm. And a clear vision is something that will help you. I think that's one advice, learning that I've had myself. The second is that, you know, utilize the community aspect of Web3. You have a lot of people to help you out. If, let's say, you need a designer, or you need help with content, right? Then you can create programs for people, right? The ambassador programs, contributor programs. There's a different way of working. So embrace and adapt to that, I would say, to any entrepreneur. And the third is, you know, what do you know? Like, where do you get the alpha? Because, I mean, Web3, you mostly are working remotely. So I think the alpha is inside events at big events, right? So I would say if you're new, entrepreneur and you want to talk about your product, reach out to people, hit up those side events. We know we token is happening at the moment. There's a little bit of a flood situation in Dubai, which I don't know if that really happens ever, but you know, our team is also there. The idea is that the more people you talk, you'll sort of understand, are you really different? Is something already happening? Is it unique to this chain? Maybe you are building this on StackNet. Maybe you meet somebody who's building it on Polygon. You just don't know. Right. So there's a lot and so there's a lot of alpha communication and camaraderie that you need as an entrepreneur to connect with people. And these side events or these big mega events are really, really important. Right. So one is networking. Second is to be very clear on your positioning and value that you bring to people. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would say optimize and build an open. That's the whole thing about Web3, right? Build in open. If you're still building, have a Twitter page, talk about what you're working on. Do you need help? You know, just put it out there. Be as transparent as you can and you'll see that people sort of pick it up.
Yes.
Right?
That's
absolutely. I think those are the... I mean, those are the three things just on top of my mind. There's so much that you can do, but I think... one is nobody would ever refuse to tell you, you know, what you need to know. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of F3. You are into music. We could talk about music NFTs, right? And you could reach out to somebody else. So the loop of what information is long, mm-hmm. open, and it's good to build those connections, I feel.
That's true. Yeah. So of course, you know, what we've taken back from here is definitely have a vision, talk about what you're building, you know, be transparent about it. For listeners who didn't catch it the first time, this is for you. You know, have a roadmap, you know, put out your team members and always utilize the community, because I think that's, like I said earlier also, the beauty of Web3 is the community that we have. And definitely side events, because that's what Orbis 86 also does a lot. We host a lot of IRL events, not for really profit, but more to just bring the community together and, you know, help each other.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So yeah, definitely. And pick your USP and make sure that you're bringing value to people. That is definitely what we're taking back from here today. Thank you, Tanisha, for that. And thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. Your journey was, you know, it's been incredible. And everything that you said today, I'm pretty sure the listeners have, you know, taken back. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a very great experience, my first experience to be on the other side. And I absolutely love it. And you've been a great host. And yeah, I mean, it's just good to, you know, discuss some things, like you said, marketing, still so new in Web3.
Yeah.
So just good to put these conversations out there, I think.
Absolutely. Yes, that's the whole idea. And obviously the first rule being to educate, you know, everybody and onboard people seamlessly to Web3. And yeah, to our listeners, thank you for tuning in, guys. Remember, in the fast-paced world of Web3 and DeFi, adaptability and innovation are definitely key. So stay informed, stay engaged, and keep dreaming big.